Blog Talk Radio. I really do. And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. This is, of course, a special edition, and it is that because the other day we commemorated the 75th year for what was known as, or what is known as, the International Human Rights Day. Of course, that was observed globally on December 10th. And again, this is the 75th year of that signing of the document in the United Nations. Now, many of our people don't know anything about such a document or what human rights are or anything like that. And so one of our roles with the We Charge Genocide 21 is to make sure that we're able to do that to a greater extent, and to do it in such a way that it is more palatable, more digestible, more comprehensible for our people. And so with that said, our campaign to boot Okay. I think we had a little block out there for a moment. Hopefully we are back now. Interesting, as I was saying, before we had that little technical, one of our focuses is to, of course, make certain that we are able to get to the masses of our people in hand, of course virtually, but also in hand. That is so important because what we're finding is a lot of things are very dependent on virtual stuff, social media and so forth and so on, and that's all cool, and we're going to be doing all of that to a greater extent as well. But what we're also realizing is that a lot of our people are not getting information that they need to be getting in the way that they need to be getting it. And again, there is a kind of tradition, a history of pamphleting, for lack of a better word, tracts, for lack of a better word. And we're talking about, you know, the written types of capability or the written power that goes with being able to disseminate information by way of pen and paper or ink and paper, whichever you prefer. The point is, you know, that is one of the things that we're definitely in the process of making certain that we're able to do, and that is to put information in print in such a way that it can be easily distributed to the masses of our people. So again, one of the things you're going to hear us talk more about now is our Boots on the Ground campaign, and with that, how we are now going to proceed the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign. Because before we begin to connect to other nations, which is certainly what we plan to do, we want to make sure we're connecting to our people so that we can hold various sessions in our communities. So this is one of the things that you'll see us do here in Philadelphia starting next year. We're going to begin to hold some meetings, some forums that focuses on pre-plebiscite sessions. What are human rights? What is civics? Poli-Sci 101, which is political science 101 from a black perspective, and so forth. Doing these things in our community is now essential. So before we go more into that tonight, we want to give you some of the follow-up of what we did last night, and then we're going to proceed with reviewing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which are 30 articles. We did 1 to 15 last night. So tonight we will do from 16 to 30. And with that said, we're going to also start off with, again, giving you a little review on what is Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So without further ado, and of course, this is, again, the 75th year. So let's check this out. Okay, somehow we lost some volume there, so let's see how we can proceed with that. Somehow we lost the volume, so I'm not sure what has happened there. Let's try that again, and then maybe we can, okay, I think we have it now, so let's try that again. And again, this is focusing on the 75th year of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Universal Declaration of Human Rights was a historic act of international cooperation and a powerful assertion of our common humanity. Drafted by a committee led by Eleanor Roosevelt, but comprising, among others, leading figures from Lebanon, Chile, and China, the Declaration proclaimed a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, codified the innate human rights of freedom and dignity, irrespective of nationality, place of residence, sex, national or ethnic origin, religion, language, or any other status. Over the decades, that Universal Declaration of Human Rights has been a pivotal reference point, inspiring legal codes and norms, improving billions of lives. But today, as we mark this important anniversary, there is still much to reflect on. Authoritarianism is on the march. Crucial individual rights are being rolled back, from the right to a girl's education in Afghanistan to a woman's right to bodily autonomy in the United States. Free speech is under attack in many parts of the world and increasingly across the expanses of cyberspace. Meanwhile, as armed conflicts become longer and bloodier, old norms on war crimes and the treatment of civilians are giving way to a new age of impunity. And the climate crisis is exacerbating all of these pressures, flooding, heat waves and droughts, leading to new conflicts, forced migration, and within them, new persecution and human rights abuses. As geopolitical tensions mount, the very meaning of universal rights itself is contested, with some states placing great emphasis on individual ones and others on group ones. It is clear that the current human rights architecture is overwhelmed by these divisions between states. The United Nations, the very cradle of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, still has a fundamental role to play, but in an age of growing fragmentation, it often finds itself on the sidelines. So today, as we contemplate the future, we must be ready to innovate. New coalitions, including still groups of states, but also civil society organizations and grassroots movements, have a central role to play. So too do new digital technologies, which make possible new ways of organizing and demanding accountability. If in 1948, Eleanor Roosevelt symbolized the international nature of human rights campaigning, today, in a different and more challenged political context, the campaigners must be each of us, from Beijing to Nairobi, Moscow to London, each recognizing human rights as the guarantee of our freedom and fulfillment as human beings.
Ashe. All right. So there you have sort of a background, a brief kind of summary of what the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is as a document. And again, it was introduced into the United Nations in 1948, to be specific, December 10th, which is why this year marked the 75th year commemoration. Now, as we talked last night, our program this week is kind of in the context of tutorials, teaching, speak out, and other things relevant to how we will begin to educate slash edify the masses of our people in dealing with issues that are relevant to human rights. And again, that's just a beginning, more or less, because needless to say, there's a lot more advanced other kinds of things that will at some point manifest. But at this point, as Brother Malcolm taught us, we must go from civil rights to human rights, encompassing, of course, civil rights, but also putting now a lot more energy or at least comparatively speaking, as much energy into the issue of human rights. And so with that said, as many today are focusing on what's going on in Palestine, we're not hearing many talk about what's going on in the Sudan, the FAR, and Nubia, around in those areas. There's a tremendous amount of human rights violations being implemented on the darker peoples in that land. But again, you're not hearing a whole lot of rallying and so forth about that. I wonder why. Anyway, we will be talking more about it this week, but also what's going on in Haiti. Again, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is an international scope, meaning all of the countries, with the exception, I think, of one or two, I got to look that back up, but all of the countries, for the most part, have agreed, meaning signed on, to this document. And even though the document is not a legal document, it is one that has been placed into these various governments as guidelines in constructing certain things. Now, we also know, of course, that it hasn't applied in many kinds of ways, but what we do know is organizing has helped to do certain things with utilizing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as an instrument. And so note that the way it operates is that the people within a government or within a country or within a jurisdiction, they have to be organized or will organize within their country so that their issue can be presented before others. And then there can be rulings where countries can agree to support a position. So even though it's not binding in itself, what it can produce is the capability for countries to support in some kind of way. And this is what Brother Malcolm had taught us over 50 years ago. Now, why that ball got dropped, I'm not quite clear, although in some ways I am. But we do need to say that the ball definitely got dropped because Brother Malcolm went to Africa in 1964 and in doing so met with several heads of state in regards to the issue of human rights violations of our people. And let me be very specific and say black people. That's what Brother Malcolm presented. He didn't present indigenous. He didn't present, you know, some of these other terminologies. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I'm just saying what he did. And so it is documented on record. He presented to the African Union on our behalf. And so we have, in fact, something to draw from in that regard. So we are continuing the work of Brother Malcolm X, of Paul Robeson, of course, Queen Mother Moore, Callie House, Dr. Yusuf Klee, and others. Right here in Philadelphia, Dr. Imari Obadeli, who was born and raised here in Philadelphia, attended Temple University to get his doctorate's degree in political science, and who was, in fact, one of the co-founders of NCOBRA, also of the Republic of New Africa. So we have a very powerful history here in Philadelphia that for whatever reason, Negropeans have allowed it to just not flourish, not to advance. And so that needs to be made clear as to who and why, because we certainly could have been a lot further along if, in fact, the various gatekeepers had not been in the way. And our position is now to get them out of the way. So before I go more into how we plan to do that to some degree, I'm going to share with you where we kind of picked up from last night, which was, of course, with the 30 articles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And last night, of course, we focused on, I believe, we focused on 15 of those articles. Okay, and so again, if there's anyone that's interested who would like to know more about what we are doing in terms of the United Nations, the formation of the task forces that will, one, of course, the International Decade for African People, which of course will end next year, but we're putting our task force in place now so that we are ready to do presentations. If anyone's interested in learning more about some of our other projects, including We Charge Genocide 21 and how that is now getting ready to be applied to United Nations work to a greater extent, then you can just email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. You can text us at nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. And again, that's for the National Black Human Rights Project. Okay, so we're going to go into Article 16. Article 16, I'm going to play a clip for you, and then we'll review it again from our notes. And again, if you would like a copy of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the 30 articles, again, you could just email us, and we will send you a copy of the articles. Again, a lot of times people talk to one another who already know these things. We want to start reaching out to our people who may not know various things and then make ways to get this information to them. So our program is designed to do that. So, okay, before we go any further, again, let's go over the articles. We're starting tonight with Article 16.
Today, we are faced with numerous difficult challenges. Misinformation, hunger, increasing poverty, climate change injustice, attacks on people, offline and online. Are our rights fading? Where do human rights live? They live in each of us. We have the chance to know, claim, and defend our rights. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights still speaks to us all. Its certain articles transcend values, cultures, and borders, declaring that we are all human and all equal in dignity and in rights. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights unites us. To counter the current attacks on human rights, we need stronger and greater alliances involving all of us. Government, human rights defenders, the media, everyone. This year, as we celebrate 75 years of the Declaration standing up for rights, it's your turn. Find the rights that resonate with you. Claim them. Stand up for them. In dignity, freedom, and justice for all, stand up for human rights.
All right. So that, again, kind of focused on an overview of, you know, some of the advertising or whatever that has gone out in regards to the International Decade for Human Rights. And that, of course, kind of stems from the United Nations. What we are working on doing is, of course, bringing these kinds of information to our people as we construct it, as we make it more readily available. And so with that said, you're going to begin to see various kinds of pamphlets and other things that we will be producing in order for, you know, our people to be able to know and get access to what it is we're talking about. Okay, now let's do this. Give me one moment. I'm getting ready to, hopefully you can hear this, and if not, I will reboot it and get it going somewhere else. But what I'd like to do is review a few of the articles, and then we're going to go into, let me see. Again, I'm hoping you can hear this because I'm playing it from another device, And if not, what I'll do is reboot it and go to one of the other devices that I think you could be able to hear it better. So let's try this and see how it goes. But again, these are, we're going to try to start with Article 16, and that'll take us into Article 30, all right? And this, again, is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So bear with me. I'm going to cue this up.
Everyone charged with the penal offenses has the right to presume innocent and improve right to the protection. Everyone has the right to leave any country, including all. Article 15. Everyone has the right to a nationality. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his nationality, nor denied to the right to change his nationality. Article 16. Men and women of full age without any limitation due to race, nationality, or religion have right to marry and to found a family. They are entitled to equal rights as to marriage, during marriage, and its dissolution. Marriage shall be entered into only with the free and full consent of the intended spouses. The family is the natural and fundamental.
Okay, family. I'm concerned about the volume on that particular clip. So what we're going to do is try another one. So hold on a moment. Bear with me because I did have another one queued up, and I'm not sure what happened to it, but somehow it disappeared on me. So we're going to try. I'm going to try another one here. But while we're working to do that, let's do this. Let's go back to Article 16, and I'll just read them to you as we try as we are trying to queue up something that we were looking for that was from a video clip. But I'm going to read from the actual document. Article 16, men and women of full age without any limitations due to race, nationality, or religion, have the right to marry and to found a family. I'm not sure what that how that's reading, but that's what it says. And to found a family. They are entitled to equal rights as to marriage, during marriage, and at its dissolution. Two of this, which is still of Article 16, marriage shall be entered into only with the free and full consent of the intending spouses. And then number three of the same article is the family is the natural and fundamental group unit of society and is entitled to protection by society and the state. Now this is very important. Because when we talk about the black family, we have to now look at it in the context of keeping the black family in place is a human right. So this kind of changes the game a little, family, when we are attacked or, you know, or given some kind of opposition when we talk about race first and also the family structure from a more traditional standpoint. Okay, and that means mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, and so forth. And so, you know, in certain circles, the dialogue about what a family should consist of has now or can consist of has now kind of, you know, reached other definitions. My point is, regardless of that, those who take the position that for us, for a group, family represents tradition, then we have the right to proceed in that manner. So we're going to break that down for you a little further at another time, but I just wanted to put that out there to you now because, again, there's been quite a bit of conversation and debate around what a family is and what it should be and what other people should be accepting and so forth. The bottom line is we have the right to uphold our family structure in the manner that we see fit. Okay, so moving right along, that was, hold on, that was 16. So 17, Article 17. Anyone has the right to own property alone as well as in association with others. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of his property. Isn't that interesting? Article 18. Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. The right includes freedom to change his religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in a community with others and in public or private to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. Wow. That's Article 18. We will definitely review that again. So please put an asterisk next to that one. Okay. Article 19. Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. His right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers. Article 20. Everyone has the right to freedom of peaceful assembly and association. Wow. Now, there's the part two to that, and it is no one may be compelled to belong to an association. Okay, Article 21. Everyone has the right to take part in the government of his country directly or through freely chosen representatives. Everyone has the right of equal access to the public service in his country. The will of the people shall be the basis of the authority of government. This will shall be expressed in periodic and genuine elections, which shall be by universal and equal suffrage and shall be held by secret vote or by equitable free voting procedures. Article 22. Everyone as a member of society has the right to Social Security and is entitled to realization through national effort and international cooperation, and in accordance with the organization and resources of each state, of the economic, social, and cultural rights indispensable for his dignity and the free development of his personality. Article 23, number one, everyone has the right to work, to free choice of employment, to just and favorable conditions of work, and to protection against unemployment. Wow. Article number two, everyone without any discrimination has the right to equal pay for equal work. Number three of Article 23, everyone who works has the right to just and favorable enumeration, ensuring for himself, herself, and his family an existence worthy of human dignity and supplemented, if necessary, by other means of social protection. Now, there's a number four, but before I go on to that, so let's look at that closer because the stigma that has been put with that one, oh, wow. However, this is was listed as a human right. Okay, number 4 of Article 23. Everyone has the right to form and to join trade union for the protection of his interests. Article number 24. Everyone has the right to rest and leisure, including reasonable limitation of working hours and periodic holidays with pay. Did y'all know that was a human right? Okay. Article 25. Everyone has the right to be a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and of his family, including food, clothing, housing, and medical care, and necessary social services, and the right to security. In the event of unemployment, sickness, disability, widowhood, old age, and other lack of livelihood and circumstances beyond his control. Number 2 of that same article says motherhood and childhood are entitled to special care and assistance. All children, whether born in or out of wedlock, shall enjoy the same social protection. Article number 26. Everyone has the right to education. Education shall be free, at least in the elementary and fundamental stages. Elementary education shall be compulsory. Technical and professional education shall be made generally available, and higher education shall be equally accessible to all. Okay, I'm just saying, y'all. There's another 3 and 4 for that one, and it is education shall be directed to full development of the human personality and to the strengthening and respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms. It shall promote understanding, tolerance, and friendship among all nations, racial and religious groups, and shall further the activities of the United Nations for the maintenance of peace. Number 3 of Article 26 is parents have a prior right to choose the kind of education that shall be given to their children. We'll definitely go back to that another time as well. Article 27. Everyone has the right freely to participate in the cultural life of the community, to enjoy the arts, and to share in scientific advancement and its benefits. Number 2 of Article 27, everyone has the right to the protection of the moral and material interests resulting from any scientific, literary, or artistic production of which he is the author. Article 28, everyone is entitled to the social and international order in which the rights and freedoms are set forth in the Declaration can be fully realized. Article 29, everyone, and this is number 1, everyone has duties in the community in which alone the free and full development of his personality is possible. 2, in the exercise of his rights and freedoms, everyone shall be subjected only to such limitations as are determined by law solely for the purpose of securing due recognition and respect for the rights and freedoms of others, of meeting the just requirements of morality, public order, and the general welfare in a democratic society. And number 3, these rights and freedoms may in no case be exercised contrary to the purpose and principles of the United Nations. That was Article number 29. And the last article, Article 30, is nothing in this declaration may be interpreted as implying for any state, group, or person any right to engage in an activity or to perform any act aimed at the destruction of any of the rights and freedoms set forth herein. Okay, so that was from 15 to 30 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And, of course, last night we went through 1 to 15. So today was actually 16 to 30. So, family, with that said, and again, we will be reviewing some of this. So if you missed some of it tonight, that's okay, because it is our intention to now do ongoing sessions so that, again, we can begin to educate the masses of our people. Here in Philadelphia on December the 31st, we will be doing a session in the community and on Zoom. It'll be at the Nile here in Philadelphia, located at 6008 Germantown Avenue. There will be a session. Actually, there'll be a few sessions, but one of them is going to focus on what we call pre-plebiscite sessions, so that our people can begin to know what we're talking about in the context of a plebiscite. A pre-plebiscite is, again, a kind of event. The actual thing is called a plebiscite. We're going to start breaking down what that is, why that is, and why it's so important that we now engage in that. Because those are some of the next steps of what some of our ancestors already did, what they already accomplished, showed us, fought for, and in some instances died for. So pre-plebiscite session will begin to have us to have discussions. For example, what do we want to now be called? Because right now there's a lot of discussion and debate around what we should be called. Some are saying we should not be called Black. Some are saying we should be called Moors. Some are saying we should be called Amerindians. There's a lot of different names. And so at some point, those who wish to engage, we need to vote. We never voted on any of this for ourselves. This stuff was just given to us, and we accepted it. Well, nowadays, we don't necessarily have to do that. So now we will literally, we trust one, we will literally vote. Those who become members of the society that we're calling the New Maroon Society, they will have the opportunity to vote on a name that we want to call our provisional or preliminary government or nation. And again, it will be provisional, meaning it's not the all in all. It is designed to get us from step A to step B, and then we will make all the determinations from that. But you have to start with something. So, again, we will in the very near future start giving you very specific information about some of the steps, procedures for those types of activities. Also, there's going to be what we call tribunals in our communities to begin to address some of the issues that are in our communities. For example, I dare say that in, if not all of our Black communities, certainly a large number of them, we are witnessing and have witnessed what I call Black treason in our communities. So there need to be some hearings about some of that so that the masses of the people can begin to make some determinations. The other thing that a tribunal will do is allow us to educate and prepare to do presentations for the United Nations. Because again, at some point, information has to be submitted to the United Nations. It has to be structured in a certain kind of manner. And that, you know, takes time and it's a lot of work. And so we will have to start recruiting folk to get involved, to literally play a more of a role in some of these activities. And with that said, next year we're planning a weekend that will include students, and we plan to take them to the United Nations next year to begin to, you know, get them more acclimated to some of these processes and things that are being discussed. but we want to take them to what's known as the Ark of Return. There's a monument that's been installed at the United Nations called the Ark of Return. And so we want to start taking students on these trips so that they can begin to see for themselves some of the things that we've been talking about and some of the things they also need to become more familiar with, because that particular monument is there as a result of the transatlantic slave trade, and to remind folk that we really must return home at some point, and so forth and so on. So, okay, fam, listen, that's our program for tonight. You know, again, we wanted to keep it within an hour and a half of discussion. If any of you have a comment or a thought you want to share on what we've conveyed for tonight, by all means, you can press one now if you have a question or a comment. But tomorrow, we will be doing another special edition, but tomorrow's program will be a tribute and discussion on the great Ella Baker. Tomorrow, interestingly enough, will mark the birthday or Earth Day and the transition day of Ella Baker. So we're going to talk about her tomorrow and, of course, her contribution to the development of civil rights, but also justice, movement, and so forth. Again, she is also one of our sister saints. So you will also hear more about our plans of action to move forward with the installment process of all of our sister saints. We have 25, and Saint Ella Baker is one of them. So tomorrow at 9 o'clock again, we will, in fact, do another special edition, and tomorrow's focus is going to be, again, we'll talk more about human rights, civil rights as well, and with that highlight some of the work of the great Ella Baker. Who was she? What did she do? Who was she a mentor? No, I don't like the word mentor. Who was she a guidance to? And, you know, things of that nature, because it's very important that we know how, you know, what played a role in some of the great people that we, you know, talk about today and admire and uphold. Ella Baker was very instrumental in some of the development of some of them. And so with that said, needless to say, we definitely have to make sure that we bring forward her information, her history, her energy, and her legacy. Again, tomorrow night, at 9 o'clock. We'll focus again more on human rights, what it is. Again, we closed out tonight with the 30 articles. Tomorrow, we're going to go more into where do we go from here? Because in listening to the articles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, we now have to look at how can we utilize this to for better for us? How can it be more advantageous for us? How can we start having in our communities human rights violations or human rights discussions, period, in our communities? How do we help to better familiarize our youth with these concepts, including reparations, justice, things of that nature? We'll talk about that tomorrow, and we do have plans of action to do that. So while we'll discuss it with each other, we will also be introducing to you the Recharge Genocide 21 plans of action. So again, that will be tomorrow. Again, so as we get ready to close out, we want to remind you that today is $2 Tuesday. And for those who have been following or, you know, seeing what we've been doing over the past few years, Sister Tawanda Jones introduced $2 Tuesday to us. And it is that day again, and it's interesting that we've asked people to be so kind to donate $2, more if they like, but $2. And it's just so funny to kind of see the response to that. I'm so glad we weren't depending on that, because we'd be in big trouble if we were. But again, Sister Tawanda came up with the idea, and we thought it was a very, very good one. And, you know, we're going to keep it going at least for a minute. But what can we say? We've got a lot of work to do, and it takes a lot to get it done. So, again, if you are, in fact, interested in our $2 Tuesday, you can send it to via Cash App to $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. Or you can send it to, Or you can send it to nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. Family, listen, we are going to close out tonight for now. And again, as I said, we like to keep this only for, you know.
Name is Ashley Cates here, and I'm a graduate.
Oh, gosh. There we go. I was trying to cue something up, and it kept going somewhere else. So, at any rate, we'll be back tomorrow, 10 o'clock. No, 9 o'clock. And we will have our discussion on Ella Baker and, of course, more on human rights. Till next time, remember.
Everyone is crying out for peace, yeah. None is crying out for justice. Everyone is crying out for peace, yeah. None is crying out for justice. I don't want no peace. Equal rights and justice. And equal rights and justice. I need equal rights and justice. Got to get it. Equal rights and justice. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die on the road to heaven. Everybody wants to go. Thank you. Thank you.